morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on this wonderful Wednesday. This is another Final X Legends podcast. This is another beautiful installment of the Billion Dollars Writer Club. Today, we have an amazing writer with us. She is known as Miss Sally Tears. Sally, how are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely brilliantly, thank you. And I'm so excited to be on your show.
Awesome. It is my honor to have you on this show. You know, someone who has embarked on a lot of journeys and has a lot of experience, you know, has a lot to offer for the crowd listening and to the fans out there that want to write, whether that be for screenplays or Netflix shows or their own books or novels, whatever it is. I know that you have a lot to offer to give to everyone, and I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you.
So could you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Do you want me to start from the beginning or where I am now?
That's a good question.
It is. It depends how much time you've got, Joshua, because I'm very old, which is why I'm very experienced.
Let's start from the beginning, like any good story.
Okie dokie. I'll try and keep it as short as I can. I was incredibly lucky to be born into a family where I had unusual parents in the fact that I was born in the 40s, and in those days, girls in particular were just expected to cook and clean, just like their mums did. But I had these two amazing parents who truly believed that it didn't matter whether you were a boy or a girl. I had an older brother and an older sister, and we were all taught that you could do anything you wanted to. And that was, I didn't realize at the time, was so very, very unusual. So I grew up thinking I could do anything I liked. And that love of living and being has stayed with me ever since. I'm incredibly lucky as well to have been married for over 50 years. And my husband still rolls his eyes when I see something and I say to him, I could do that. Because that is the way that I've always been brought up, that if you want to try something, just do it. And so that led me, and I have, as you said, had many, many different careers. I've been at the top of business. I've been head of sales in a blue chip company. I've been a trainer. I've been a drama teacher as well. And I've always had stories in my head, even for teaching in the situations where I was head of sales or head of training. I've always brought in stories and analogies that help people learn, as opposed to just telling them what to do. So the stories have always been there. And eventually I thought, I'm going to have to put, the one thing I have noticed is that children are so, these days, reticent to do things and suffer from anxiety. I didn't even know what that meant when I was a child. So the story, the way I've decided to write was that to try and help children now, because it's the next generation that are so, so, so important.
Absolutely.
You know, to help them feel good about themselves, really. So I decided to put pen to paper with all the stories that were in my head and write a book of short stories just to give them confidence.
I love that. And I back that 1,000% because I agree with you. And listening to you right there, you actually changed a small part of me. There is a part of me that I will say, like 99% of me is completely understanding of this world and very open, but there is this like small 0.1% that's just, that feels like, you know, boys should do what boys do and girls should do what girls do. It's a very small, like I said, 99% of me is completely, you know, fit into this world. There is that small part. And hearing you say, you know, because I of course was not born in the 40s, but I was thinking like how horrible that must have been. Like how much would it suck to like really love doing something and somebody say, hey, you can't do that because of this. And actually I do, I can relate to that. I was in the second grade. I remember this moment. I don't think I'll ever forget it. I should have never given up on this dream because I've had many people tell me that I could have done this. But I remember telling myself and saying it in class that I wanted to be president. And there's this kid next to me. And this story touches on two different things, actually. And this kid looked at me and said, "You can't be the president, you're black." And it, two things is, one, that did affect me. Like, I not in the sense of like giving up on it because of that reason. I chose to do other things in my life. But it was a sense of somebody told me I couldn't do something because of what I was born as. And I'm like, I'm a good human being. That has nothing to do with me being the president. And the second thing is, somebody had already taught this kid who was with me in the second grade that black people can't do things because of their skin color. That's, you know, and you saying what you just said is empowering, that we should be teaching, you know, a one, unity, kindness, and the ability to do what you love doing and to provide a beautiful service to people and to support one another. So I completely see what it is you're gunning for and what it is you're striving to provide to the youth. And you absolutely nailed it on the head with the whole anxiety and mental issues. But real quick, we're going to take a small break and we're going to dive right back into the writing aspects and the mental issues that now reside within our youth. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Final X Legends podcast. Sally and I were actually just discussing how a lot of the youth nowadays have, you know, a lot of depression, anxiety, a lot of people on meds. And Sally, I wanted to let you know that over the last couple of weeks, I have, you know, engaged more in social media, and I've reached into the website and app called Discord. And what I've come to find out about Discord, it does have a lot of youth in it. You know, as an adult, you must tread carefully on the internet. Even though we're on the internet, I maintain a level of respect. Like, if I can tell through how someone's talking to me that they're 18, 19 years old, and of course, I'll ask sometimes indirectly, be like, "What year were you born?" You know, or, you know, bring it up in conversation to be able to find out. Because if I am speaking with someone that's below the age of 18, I draw a fine line of respect. Now, to add on that, I have noticed that literally every single person that I have talked to on the internet via Discord that are between the ages of 15 to 23, and these are of course like group chats of people who discuss writing or anime or people who are into art. There's Discord channels for everything. Like, they're literally like same thing with Facebook and Instagram and all that, right? And you know, what's sad is, when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, I definitely was not concerned about my sexuality and who I am, as if I'm a boy or a girl and what I want to be. Like, and that's one of the aspects that are affecting the youth. And it's a very serious one, because like literally 100% of the people I have talked to in that age group are concerned about what they are sexually. Like, and it only bothers me, because that means you, and I mean, when I say they're depressed, like, I'm like, because there are like voice groups you can join, you know, there's all types of people, all ages, you know, and I'm gonna be very fair with it. A lot of people are very respectful, you know, if there's anybody who comes in there that is of, you know, who is older, and they're being directly like belligerent or disrespectful to anybody who's, you know, young, they get banned super quick. It's you know, I appreciate the concern over maintaining the innocence of the youth in a lot of the discourse I'm in. But what I have noticed is that, like, when I was in my younger years, I was not really concerned about that. I was more concerned about what was going on at home, my test scores, and passing my classes. And yeah, I had a girlfriend here and there, and yeah, there was little fights at home, not home, but, like, you know, I grew up in an area where you had to fight. I'm the oldest brother of three, and until you got your respect, you got to fight. So, you know, to hear that a lot of these children are, I mean, when I say depressed, like, I'm a very empathetic human being, and a lot of humans have forgotten that energy transfers all the time, cannot be created or destroyed, just transfer from one object to the next. So it's very baffling that human beings have forgotten that they can literally transfer energy instantly to each other via the internet now, you know, simply through a quick comment, through a voice command, a video, and you've transferred energy hundreds of millions of miles across the world to someone else, you know? So
I couldn't agree more, because I really am passionate about this, because I watch parents transfer their fears onto their children.
Yes.
And that is just the most soul-destroying thing you can do. They'll say to me in front of their children when I was teaching drama, they'd say, oh, do you think they can do that? And what that says to the child is, my mum or my dad doesn't think I can do that. And it's just those few words that, again, you know, says to the child, you can't do that. Mm. And then I have to undo all that work and say, absolutely.
I love that.
You know, that they can do it. And if you see on the social media at the moment, I don't know what it's like where you are, but in the UK, in England, we are completely closed down again. You can only go out of your home once a day for exercise. And all the schools are closed, absolutely everything. So homeschooling. And the internet is full of parents saying, oh, how tragic this is. I can't do this. I can't do that. My child won't listen. And these children are just so, so anxious because their parents can't cope in a way. And I only said to my son last night, can you remember when you used to go to school? I hated it because I'd rather have you with me. I couldn't imagine anything nicer than having my child with me all of the time.
Yeah.
But it is, you're absolutely right when you say the speed of transfer of a negative thought is unbelievable. And people do it without thinking. And yep. It travels faster now.
Yep.
Because of social media.
Exactly. And it's even a hard, I'm on the journey right now of trying to reinfect the internet with kindness, because kindness takes so much. It's very slow to spread. It does spread, and I've noticed that, because as I have put into people, something I've noticed over the years, you know, when Facebook really popped off back in 2008, 9, 10, 11, you remember those years when everybody was on Facebook, Candy Crush this, you know, just. Oh my God! It was a pandemic on its own. So, people used to talk to each other, you know, casually back then on social media, and then it got to a point where people were talking too casually to each other on Facebook, and then you got all these marital issues and people making threats and saying crazy things, and now we're at a point where people are very desensitized to the internet, and they just. We're so used to seeing something negative and responding to it that it's so sad that when people see a genuine kind comment on the internet now, I have literally had people thank me for being nice to them. And that is sad in a sense, because there shouldn't be such a lack of kindness in the world that people have to this isn't the way they're thanking me. It's not a natural, hey, brother, thank you. It's like, oh, no problem. Thank you, too. Like that mutual, it's like, man, nobody's been nice to me like that in a while. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is sad. And it's like we said, it's that speed of transfer. You know, I get on people all the time now about it. And I do it in a humble but condescending way. When I see somebody comment something, I'll say something like, man, you really got out of bed this morning, got on your computer or phone, saw that comment and said, you know what? Yep, I'm deliberately going to type here these words. And we're humans. We know what our words mean. You know, it's when you type something, it's as good as writing something. And we as human beings know that when you write something, it carries a stronger impact. So for you to take negative words, manifest them in your spirit and your heart, transfer them through your physical essence into a physical device and send that out to the world. Why? Why would you do that? We already have enough negativity. I live in America. Our leadership does enough of putting out negativity. Why do we need to do it as well? You know? So that's why I have embarked on just really being nice. And it's nothing about it is fake. What I've noticed is it does actually take more work. It is actually a lot easier to be snappy, to be rude, to break someone down than it is to build them up. you know. And I'll say this because even myself, I find myself more drained when I spend 30 minutes on Instagram and Facebook commenting on people's posts, saying kind things about them. And it's not because it's draining in the sense of I don't want to be doing this. It's more so of there's such a lack of it and a lack of response to it that it feels like, what's the point? But it slowly catches on. And yeah, it needs to be there because the internet itself has become a dull place. I feel like there's a lot of people kind of just like empty shells on the internet. So that's why we got to spread this kindness and this awareness. And that's why I love that you are creating what you're creating. So real quick, we are going to take a small break. And then when we come back, we are going to find out exactly what it is that Miss Sally writes. We're going to ask her some questions about her characters and find out exactly how she's going to influence the youth through the use of her words. We'll be right back shortly. And we are back, guys. We are here with Miss Sally. We were actually just in a little intermission discussing, you know, the connections that a lot of people have with one another. She actually just pumped me up here, you know, talking about just she gave me some really good feelings here. So we're actually going to give her the floor, and we want to hear about your book, your characters, and how your experiences are going to influence this story and carry out to the youth.
Right, thank you. It is a joy talking to you, Joshua. I think I have to say that for a young man of your age, you are so measured. So, you know, congratulate your parents is all I can say. They've reared a very fine young man.
Thank you for that.
My book is called I Can Do Stories, which is, you know, nothing spectacular as a title. But what I felt, there was a niche in the market for an ordinary child's story. I don't think children have changed that much, that if they're being read to at night or whatever, they just want a comforting story that makes them feel good. And I just felt there was a niche in the market for an ordinary story.
Yeah.
So that might sound very boring.
No.
But I know that when I read books as a child, I wanted there to be a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get frightened if I was going to go to sleep because it made me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, because of anxiety in children these days, I just wanted to let them know that all you have to do is talk to someone. And so my characters came, I have to say, walking on a beach. I remember walking on a beach and thinking, isn't it funny? They're called waves, but they can't wave. Which is because I'm not, you know, I don't think quite normally, really. I've come to the conclusion.
Well, we all are.
And then I saw a seagull and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if it was scared of heights? So we then came, to the conclusion that wouldn't it be great to have a story about the wave that waved?
Ooh.
And also born at that same time was Sammy, the scared seagull. Everybody who's read the book loves Sammy the Scared Seagull because I think he brings out a little bit of all of us in him. He's born and he has to peck his way out of his shell because he can hear that everybody else around him doing it. But he quite liked being in his shell because it was very safe and secure. And when he got out, luckily he was in the middle of the nest and everybody else was pushing and shoving all his brothers and sisters. And Sammy was just quite happy to sit quietly there. And it all went along fine until the magic day when his mum and dad said, right, you've got to learn how to fly. And everybody else was so excited and he wasn't. And when it got to his turn, he got to the edge of the nest and no, I can't do that. I'll just go back to the middle. And he hoped that no one had noticed. And I'm not going to spoil the rest of the story, but it's all about how Sammy overcame, his fears and learned to fly. And it's because he communicated and his parents helped him solve the problem. The wave that waved just had to work jolly hard to learn how to wave. And then we have Ollie the Magic Octopus. And Ollie the Magic Octopus, so there's clearly a sea thing going on here. Ollie solves problems for children who lay awake worrying about schoolwork or whatever. So he's quite wonderful. Every time he's an octopus, but he has feather dusters on the ends of his arms, and every time he waves them about, he sneezes and things fall out of his sleeve.
That's adorable. So
he's quite a bad person as well. So that's the, you know, there's nothing brilliant or clever. It's just, I just felt children needed something nice.
Yes.
And to let them know not to be anxious, that problems can be solved. And actually yesterday I heard somebody say something and it stuck with me, that worrying about tomorrow only spoils today's joy. It doesn't help tomorrow's worry. And I thought, I love that.
That is beautiful.
So that's my mantra for this week. Oh. It's not to worry about tomorrow.
Not to worry about tomorrow because it spoils today.
Yeah. Exactly.
I believe that'll stick with me for the rest of my life.
Good. I am pleased I have done something. And the last thing I did, I also write plays. And because of COVID, and a lot of my husband was a teacher, my niece in America is ahead of a lot of schools, and she was a school principal for many years. And so I know what teachers go through, and I taught drama for many years, is that when kids go back to school from COVID, they'll all go back with different perspectives on it. The children that have had a great time will go back assuming every child, you know, has had a great time like they have. You'll have the ones who've struggled because there wasn't much money around, and maybe, in my play I've written that, you know, one of them couldn't wait to get back to school because they were safer there than they were at home. And then those children who have key workers who had to go to school were so scared that their parents would come home with COVID. So I've written a play on that as well to try and help children share and see that they're not all the same, but they can all, if they share it, understand each other. So that's another thing I've done as well.
That's fascinating. I actually, listening to you, I personally feel like even more adults need to read children's books. And just thinking about the energy that we should be transferring to our youth, I couldn't imagine, you know, it's, you know, think about when there's a child sleeping, they can hear mom and dad yelling, you know?
Yeah.
You know, how, like, putting them to bed with a comforting story, and then, you know, instead of getting online and looking at what's going on in the world and letting your energy produce that, you know, after you put your child to rest with a good children's book, you know, it'd be beneficial to you know, read another one yourself and comfort yourself. I love writing. It is my passion. Live it, breathe it, am it. Down to my atomic structure, it is. However, the stories I write are always, you know, epics and have, you know, twists and turns and characters with flaws and gotta overcome this and that. And, you know, there's always, you know, some adult themes to it at some point. But those stories always, they carry a balance of negative and positivity, where children's books are normally a good, firm, you know, 80-20, 90-10, you know, there's a little bit of conflict, but it's just enough to show that we can overcome it, you know, and yeah. I believe that that's a beautiful formula that children's books follow, and I didn't really, you know, think about that, so.
I think that's why I love doing drama as well, though, because once they get past a certain age, they also, as all adults do, have to realize that we can't all do everything. And that's okay as well.
Yeah.
It's okay not to be able. I, for many years, carried a desire to be a dancer. If you ask my former ballet teacher when I was young, she'd let you know that there was not a chance of me ever being a dancer. My father would tell you, because I used to dance on his shoes and I could even trip him up while I was standing on his shoes. I do not have that gift of being a dancer. And I've come to, you know, to come to terms with it. I don't feel a failure because of it. It's just something I couldn't do. So I've looked for something else I could do, and I can write and I can teach. And I'm happy with that. But I think the next step with drama is letting children know that and adults as well, because they teach adults confidence, is that it's okay sometimes to get knocked back by a no or a rejection. We all have to get through them. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. It's how you deal with it. And that's another passion of mine, is moving them on bit by bit.
Exactly. You know, taking on small bites.
Yes, exactly.
So, if you were able to give your listeners and yourself some advice, if you could go back in time and give yourself some advice, you know, that you wish you would have known, aside from what we just discussed, is there anything else, that any other wisdom that you would like to put out there?
I don't know, really. I just think I'm just so happy that I have an abundance of enthusiasm.
Yes, you do. I hear it in your voice.
And all I can say is I'm so glad I haven't lost it. And I'm very old now, Joshua. But I'm still like a child in my heart. So I would just say to myself, stay as you are. And to anybody else out there who is maybe, you know, sort of reaching their later years, it's okay. Let the child inside you still reign. They're happy. Keep that happiness and keep that enthusiasm. And if you do, your life will be so, so much richer.
Man, those words actually, they touched me. Like, I was sitting here like, man, like, my best friend and I, we talk about that a lot, about the inner child. And, you know, I reflect on my inner child a lot, and I like to think to myself, did I make that kid proud? Did I make him happy? Did I become what that kid wanted to become? Or did I let him down? And, you know, if you have, and there's a real factor of letting that person down inside of you, but you can reclaim that and build something new with that person. So it's amazing that you have reminded everyone to hold on to that inner child, to let them be happy.
A shadow of doubt. It's the happiest thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is a fine line, but for the most part, when it comes to the benevolence of the human race, we are, I truly believe that we are naturally, inherently more good than we are bad. So
I agree.
I do believe that bad has to be taught. So It's been truly amazing to listen to you. You have a wonderful voice. You are an intelligent woman. You have a balance of strength and beauty that most human beings wish they could have. They can't even fathom the level of, you know, balance you have right now. But you've had a very beautiful and blessed life. To hear that you were born in the 40s, and here you—I mean, you sound amazing. You really sound like you're in your 40s. Like it's amazing. Like I'm pretty sure you got some good, you know, health life hacks that you could give everybody as well. You might want to consider writing some good books on, you know, living a healthy life. So
well, I don't know. It's just my voice has always sounded younger than my face looks.
That's a beautiful thing. Run with it. I mean, I think I'm like that as well. And then I look very young. Like if I shave my beard, I get carded. So it's, but then I actually thought recently, like, man, maybe I should look into acting, like, you know, be one of those people who like play in like college movies and stuff like that. And then do funny videos and stuff. Cause I remember that there's a movie Mean Girls with, Oh my God. What is this chick's name? The from Parent Trap, Lindsay Lohan. There we go.
All right, yes.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan. She was in that movie, and There's another woman. I can't remember her name. I got to look it up because I can't let the listeners be like, how does he not know the people from Mean Girls? Oh my God. He's so bad. How does he not know? Google, tell me. What is her name? Mean Girls. Boom. Cast. Oh my God.
Don't ask me.
Not Tina Fey. Rachel McAdams. I know she was like in her like 30s or something when she played in that movie, I believe. Yeah, like early 30s, and she played a high school chick, and I was like, you know, I'm one of those people who could like pass as like some college student, so maybe I should get into acting, you know? But nah, that was just me being a little goofy. But overall,
you see, you said it out loud now.
Oh Lord,
give it a go, yeah.
Man, I don't know. There's a lot to do in life, and I'm pretty sure you'll disagree with me, but. I feel like I'm running out of time now. I feel like there's a lot that I must do before my time's up, and you know.
Just keep that thought. You cannot possibly run out. If you do everything you can in the time you've got and not worry about what's coming, then you'll be fine.
Absolutely. You know what? It's just like you said. Why am I worrying about tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Well, that is actually going to be our little closing statement, guys. Do not worry about tomorrow. This has been another Final S Legends podcast. This is Miss Sally Tears. Also, real quick, could you let everybody know where they can find you, Instagram and your social medias, website, Amazon links?
They can, the Amazon, my book is available on Amazon, and it's called I Can Do Stories, Book One. Which means I have to write book two.
Yes, you do.
And I'm on Facebook, which is if you put Sally Tears one on the end, you'll find my page, which is called Finding Your Voice.
Beautiful. And I actually want to pick up a few copies. I believe I have children, and I believe they all would love to read your stories, especially my youngest. Actually, they all read. They love to read. But my youngest has she loves to write, and it's crazy. She's 8, and when we talk, like, it's very weird. Children are a weird combination of highly intelligent and very innocent. She's giving me some advice on my stories that I've been like, how old are you? Like, girl, who are you? Hold on. And then like she'll say something else, and I'll be like, oh yeah, she is just a little 8-year-old girl. What's going on here? But it's just children. So I love that this conversation has, you know, catered towards taking care of the youth. Even I myself have a stronger conviction with, you know, with spreading kindness. You know, it's not something that we just have to do with the youth. We got to do it with our older generation as well before they pass, you know.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's been a joy talking to you, Joshua. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's been an honor to host you, and I look forward to getting to know you and speaking with you more as we go, and to have you back on here in the future. I truly, truly love speaking with you. You instill a level of calmness in me, and I appreciate that. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and wrap this up, guys. This has been a wonderful episode of the Billion Dollars Writer Club. You guys have a wonderful day. I love you all. And you can find everything that she mentioned, her Amazon links and social media links, in the description of this podcast. So you don't have to go too far to find her. Love you guys. Take care. Bye.